Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Friday Night Ohio podcast, powered by CantonRep.com. I'm your host, Cliff Hickman, and I'm here with repository sports writer Peter Holland, Jr. Peter, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Cliff?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. We're halfway through the season after this week, Peter. A great slate of Week 5 games on tap. A lot to be excited about. And one I know you're keeping an eye on and one you're going to be covering. You've got the big St. Edward and Massillon game, Peter. How's that one shaping up this week?
Well, this is definitely, you can probably all agree, probably the game of the week across the state. St. Edward, obviously, nationally ranked, reigning state champs, going against Massillon, who's carrying on momentum after winning three straight wins in impressive fashion. So I expect it to be a really good one. St. Edward has already beaten Massillon 3 years in a row now, including last year. And one thing I even learned about it, I mean, we got to know Jalen Slaughter a little bit when he stepped in the quarterback role after their, McElroy before him got injured and he stepped in and they got competitive after that. So now fast forward to a year later, Slaughter is the full-time starter, and this will definitely be interesting to see how they would execute against this St. Edward team that they're incredibly young. That's one thing I'm taking away from looking up St. Edward, that they are young, but they got talent. They always have. They got guys, like, especially on defense. The past three to four games, they've kept it close. I mean, the game has ended in single digits. I mean, that's against teams from that Central Catholic up in Toledo to a really good team in three-time state championship team in Colorado. And then Saturday against Elder, where it came down by a field goal. So this is a battle-tested team. Despite some new starters, but they got guys, and I think it's going to be a defensive matchup between Massillon and St. Edward.
Yeah, St. Edward's defense, I got to look at them last year. Obviously, things change from year to year, but I saw their first round game against McKinley, and they shut out the Bulldogs 42-0 there. They look like a really impressive team, and I talked to their head coach a couple of times last year in the lead up to that game, and I think they have a great program going. There's no question about it. Massillon has a great program going. Like you said, probably the one the most eyes are going to be on this week.
My biggest concern from Massillon, and let's not forget, last week was my first time at a Massillon game. I'm watching when they beat Hardin. One of my takeaways from that game was they're good enough to go against anyone on their schedule. That's for sure. They're definitely well-balanced team. Everyone in the press room was just saying this was probably Jalen Slaughter's coming out party. That was probably his best performance he's made. He threw four touchdowns, and you're going to need that from him along with their strong running game that they've been dependent on with Latrell Hartson. One of my biggest concerns, however, is I'm very skeptical about the discipline. And the reason why I brought that up, because even though they beat Hardin, Harden was competitive, and a lot of things that kept them going was the penalties. They had 7 penalties, but 5 of them were personal foul calls. You cannot afford that. You cannot beat teams like that. You cannot beat teams like that, especially against a reigning state champs like St. Edward's. That's something that they cannot afford and allowed. And you just hope that they can keep that penalties to a minimum. And if they can do that, then I would expect it to be a low scoring game, because they got the players, they got the defense. It's there for them to at least commit an upset victory. Because St. Edward's, I don't know how much a lot of fight they got in them going against all these top tier teams, but maybe this could be the year if Masson could pull it off if they remain disciplined.
Absolutely. Again, what a great game that is going to be. And it's just one of the great games we have. We're also, Federal League action is about to pick up. Business is about to pick up for sure. Big one I'm looking at is Jackson at Perry. Jackson is coming off of a close loss to Green last Friday. It was a 2-point conversion. The Polar Bears led for most of that game before Green scored a touchdown very late and then converted the 2-point conversion for the win. And then Perry, you had them go down by double digits early against McKinley, and it was still that way in the fourth quarter, and then they rallied and won that game. And I think that's going to be a really, really good game that's going to set the tone for the Federal League for both those teams, Peter.
Sure thing. You want to have a statement win in your conference play. And yeah, the Green Jackson game came down to that 2-point conversion. Instead of playing it safe and going to overtime, if you want to win, you want to go out swinging. And Green was able to get away with that. And you just see that how Jackson just been hanging tough with them. And they've been hanging tough with a lot of teams over all the 3 games. And so you just hope that this is beneficial to them despite the loss. But it's going to continue to get tough when you're going against a Perry team that's also been battle tested and dealing with run games.
Yeah, Perry's such a tough team to prepare for. We seem to talk about it every week because of the wing T, and DeAndre Church is the guy we mention a lot when we talk about that, and rightly so. He is the game-breaking home run threat out of that backfield. But there are the other backs. They can do damage. Christian Ivanov. I always butcher the pronunciation on it. Christian Ivanovic is a really, really good running back as well. I've seen him do some nice things. Ryder Hartshorn, another guy they like to hand off to. They always seem to, they all have strengths and they all contribute a little something different to each other, but, it's going to be a good game. I think this is something that could be pretty special. And if you're hoping to stay in the Federal League race, this is definitely one Jackson is going to want to get after falling just short last week. And Perry, you know, would love to be 2-0. So
absolutely.
They're
going to need that win because you know who they're going to play against next week? Lake.
Oh yeah.
They cannot afford a lose. They gotta get the momentum. They gotta build up momentum going to next week. But yeah, you gotta start with week 1 against Perry. So we'll see.
And then the other Federal League games, you mentioned that a little bit. We've got McKinley at Green. We've got Glen Oak at Hoover. And then we've got Lake at Louisville. That is a non-conference game. Louisville coming off a tough loss to Hoover last week. Peter, anything catching your eye in the rest of the Federal League slate?
The McKinley-Green game could be interesting just because this is a desperate desperate win for McKinley since they're still winless. I just don't know if this is a team that's still trying to find a way, still trying to learn how to win, because McKinley was pretty much winning throughout the game. They were leading over most of the game against Perry, and they just had a moment of breakdown in the fourth quarter, and Perry somehow escaped with the win. So it's sink or swim at this point for McKinley, but you're going against a Green team that's already been battle-tested, going against all the top-tier teams across Northeast Ohio. So this is – McKinley's going to fight. They're going to fight battle, but I don't know. Could this be the game where they're going to get their first win? I don't know. We will see.
It's definitely one I don't think McKinley's is as bad as that 0-4 record indicates. They played some tough competition, and a lot of Green's games have been close. They went down to the wire and lost to Talmadge, and then they had the game last week that went down to the wire. In fact, I think the first one against Talmadge was the overtime thriller, actually. So that one actually went, you know, some extra time. And just taking a look at it, it has some intrigue. I noticed Nino Hill, a guy that really, really shined as a freshman over to Lyons, moved into the McKinley district shortly before the school year, had just a tremendous game last week against Perry, and just has been running the ball really well the last 2 weeks. So that's a name to keep an eye on there. And then taking a look at Glen Oak and Hoover. Hoover is playing really well on a nice winning streak. Glen Oak found a way to stay in the game against Lake last week, so that's by no means an easy victory for Hoover. That's another one that's going to be close. And Lewisville looked good when I saw them against Northwest. They had a tough outing last week. Lake is probably, all things considered on paper and having seen them, I think that perhaps the strongest overall team in the coverage area now. There's still games to play, and that'll bear itself out on the field. But that's obviously you can't overlook anybody, so they certainly got to go into Lewisville, a tough place to play, ready to play.
Absolutely. You definitely can underestimate certain teams, because like all it takes is one. I don't know if I want to use the term trap game, but it just happens that way. You just never know what could happen, especially in the Federal League where anyone could be anyone.
Yeah, Lewisville does have a really good defense. I was impressed with that when I saw it. And their problem has been in the games they've lost, it has been turnovers. The game they've won, they haven't committed any. And the ones they've lost, they've had some problems in that area. So if they hang on to the ball, that could be a closer game than I think people might expect, possibly. And then just taking a look at the rest of the slate, Peter. Alliance at Central Catholic is probably, when you look at the Eastern Buckeye Conference, by far the game of the week. It's not a league game, but it's definitely one with a lot of intrigue. The Aviators have ripped off three straight wins after that season-opening loss against Lake. Central Catholic came from behind last week to beat Salem. So this is, I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
I like this game for sure, just because you might see one of our top Stark County players in action. On one side, you have Alliance. You obviously got Caden Davis in the backfield, who's the top rusher in the county right now. And obviously, Brandon Zerbrook, who's continuing to put up impressive numbers in that regards. And then on the Central Catholic side, obviously the heart and soul of the team, Jack Talkington, at quarterback and at middle linebacker. So you got our top teams in the Stark County going toe to toe. I expect this to be a very interesting game, but I think just from a talent level standpoint, I think Alliance might have the edge.
Yeah, that's that's going to be a lot of fun. I just think that's going to be, I think the score on that one might be pretty high. It definitely was between Salem and Central Catholic, and there's a lot of firepower on both sides. So I could be wrong, but I think we're going to see some scoring in that game. So if you're looking for a game to go to where there's going to be a lot of points, I think that's a good bet. I think that's a good bet. There's a lot of fun players to watch on both sides there.
I got a sneaky good game here. Maybe not too sneaky, but maybe it's a little bit sneaky. The West Branch Highland is kind of interesting to me. I was just reading up on this one as well. West Branch, obviously, on paper, they look like they're going to run up the score against Highland. But you got to remember last year, Highland played very well against West Branch last season. Only lost by 3 points. And Highland has been going against some very tough opponents in games that came down to at least by 2 possessions. So this is a team that you don't want to, like we mentioned earlier, not to underestimate. But West Branch, obviously, Drew DeShields, heart and soul in that team, guys continuing to shatter records. I think right now the school's all-time touchdown leader, last I checked. So this is definitely another good stretch for West Branch, where their next 5 games will be on the road, and it starts at Howland.
And one last one I'm looking at, Peter. Malvern at Ridgewood, that's a really good game in the Inter-Valley Conference. Malvern is undefeated at 4-0. Ridgewood just had its 31-game regular season winning streak. I think that dated back to 2018. That was snapped by West Branch last week. Ridgewood started off scoring really well the last 2 weeks. The offense has not been firing on all cylinders against Marlington and West Branch. So I think this could be a close game, and it's always a tough game for Malvern. It is at Ridgewood, but I think the Hornets, maybe that air of invincibility is kind of maybe taking a little bit of a hit after the loss to West Branch last week. So it'll be interesting to see the outcome of that game.
Anything else that I'm kind of catching? There's a lot of good ones out there. Manchester, Canton South. I know Canton South coming off another tough loss to what? How you pronounce that school? CVCA.
Yeah, the Cuyahoga Valley Christian Academy.
That's how you say it. Cuyahoga Valley. That's how you say it. Sorry, yes. I'm not an Ohioan, so it's gonna take me some time to pronounce these names. I'm sorry.
Well, you saw me, and I'll try it again. Ivanovich just really threw me for a loop earlier in the program. So we're even on that front. The CVCA is always a tough team to predict. They always usually have a few good players. It kind of varies from year to year. And this year they obviously found a way to beat Canton South. I was a little surprised at that outcome as well. Manchester just in an unfamiliar place at 0-4 for them. So that's, again, you're right, definitely some really interesting storylines to keep an eye on there. But I think we've covered the biggest matchups in the area, Peter.
Yeah, and only what, less than a half hour to spare?
Absolutely. We try to get you everything you need to know and do it in a reasonable amount of time. So we want to thank everyone for joining us. We appreciate everyone who takes a listen to the podcast, and we will be back next Tuesday. We're going to try to do one possibly after the games on Friday, depending on how things go. I'm at McKinley and Green, so when one of the teams stops scoring, and if we don't go to 5 overtimes and I don't get back at 2 a.m., we'll try to get something up that Friday night as well to wrap it up.
I think you jinxed it. You jinxed it. It's going to happen now. You didn't have to mention it. Now it's real. Now it's going to happen.
You're
going to be up by 3 in the morning after this.
You're telling me I should pack a lunch.
A lunch, a sleeping bag, all of it.
Well, you know what? That'd be one heck of a game if it comes to that. So I would live with it. We could sacrifice the post show for that kind of game if it goes to that degree, I think. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you soon, and thanks for listening.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.